The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Title of the message this morning, Same Power. Same Power. Verse 15, chapter 1 of Ephesians. Therefore, we always have to look at why it is that therefore. Well, therefore is because in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth. We got saved. The Spirit of the truth came into us, came into our hearts. And so He has then possessed us. Everyone say possessed. 1, 2, 3. We are possessed by the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been possessed by a lot of things. Candy bars, you know. But I'm telling you, I love being possessed by the Holy Spirit. Love it. I wish I had a double portion. Double portion. Possess. And we are guaranteed. We are sealed. All these different things. And look, at the very end of 14. Of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. We've been purchased. We're His possession. We are possessed by Him, His Holy Spirit. We have been purchased by Him. Now, here we go. So, therefore, now you get it, right? Because of all that, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith, the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And so Paul's praying, verse 17, for us, that the God, and here we go, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. We spoke about that in the last couple of weeks. And the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, that are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints. That's some more stuff that He gives us. Because look, we're in Christ now, right? We've been saved. We're His possession. We are possessed. And because we're possessed by the Holy Spirit, because we're His now, and He's adopted us, sons of God, and we have inheritances, we have all this stuff, all these things. Therefore, we have all these things. And 18 says, I just read, the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened. 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power? That's what he's praying, that what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which, 20, He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand of the heavenly places. In the original language, it should read like this, in which He worked in Christ the same power that me and you have. That's the way it should read. As He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of the heavenly places. Man, that is some power, amen? Somebody give me an amen. Oh, yeah. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That means everything. That means everything. Demons, angels, you name it, Satan. He's above all that. Far above all those things. 22. And He put all things, how many?
All.
Things under His feet and gave Him to be head over how many things?
All.
To the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in. Yeah. Well, we've been going through chapter 1. And the reason why we've been snailing along is because there's so much in here that if we are in Christ, that we have, that we possess. And we've been checking this thing out. Just look, the first part of Ephesians 1, it talks about us being highly favored. Do you remember that word, kerataho? Highly favored. The same word he used for his own mama. So you're telling me that I'm as valuable as your own mama? Yeah. Man, I don't know about the north or the east or the west, but the south, your mama, ooh, Don't talk about my mama. Those fighting words. You know, but God says, Jesus says that we are just as valuable, that we are highly favored, that we are specially graced, just like his mother Mary was. In Luke, when it talks about Mary, Gabriel said, you are highly favored. Same word. The only two times you ever see that keratajo in the New Testament are those two particular times, when he talks about his mother and when he talks about us. And so we're like, wow, that's number one. We're in Christ, and all these other things, inheritance, our inheritance, and all these other things that we have in Christ. Well, this morning we're going to see what we have in also, the awesome power we possess in Christ. He also gives us this power that he says. And so as we go through these final scriptures in chapter 1, it speaks about the power, the awesome power that God gives us. Amongst all these other things that you see in chapter 1. It'd be good just to read over those and look and see all the things that Paul says that we have access to and that we're in Christ. Not from Christ, but in Christ. There's a big difference. A.W. Tozer, he says this, quote, when Christians are defeated, it's not because they have a lack of a power problem. No. It's because they have a want-to problem. Isn't that so true? I have people come to office, we talk, we do this, and they go, I just don't have the power, I'm just defeated. And I'm like, whoa. Do you have Christ living in you? Yeah, I'm saved. Then you don't have a power problem. You have the power. Have you been, you asked that the Holy Spirit would come upon you and that you would, you know, have these, the strength and the, yeah, I do that. Well, then you don't have a power problem. You got the power. You have a want-to problem, and that's our free will. You understand that, guys, don't you? We have to put our free will down and go, I don't want to do those drugs anymore. I don't want to lust after whatever anymore. It's not a power problem. You have the power. It's a want-to problem. You don't want to, because God gave us this thing that I wish he never would have, but I guess he did because he loves us, a free will. And so in that free will, we go, I don't want to. I don't want to get up and go to church. I don't want to, you know, just fill in the blank. It's a want-to problem. Paul prays that we might be enlightened or know or realize or recognize, and that's what that enlightened means, is to know, to realize, in the original Greek, to recognize, and then to walk in. See, you can know something, you can realize something, but to walk in it is a whole nother thing, right? I mean, our whole policy. And my home is the last one out of the bed makes the bed. Well, guess who makes the bed most of the time? So here's the thing. I know that. I realize that. I agree to that. I recognize that. But do I walk in it? Do I make the bed? Like my wife says, proof's in the pudding, honey. You can say, oh, yeah, I agree with that. I'll make the bed. And then when I come home and it's not made, what happens? Well, I'm not walking in it. You look at many, many teenagers, young people, that have problems with saying, you know, yeah, I know I got a drug problem. Yeah, I'm going to take care of it. Yeah, I'm going to, I watch these, you know, things on TV about this, and they're just like, yeah, I know. And they never do anything about it. That life, PD, and every time, you know, it's mostly drugs, just about, and it's just like, you know, I need to get help. I need to get help. But they never do. There's a want-to problem. There's no want-to in it. They have the power. They just don't want to. Paul prays then that we might be enlightened in this and realize it and then walk in it. The very power that raised Jesus from the dead, that by the way, is available today for our daily lives, to walk in that daily, our daily lives. You know, one thing, I was back there praising God and before I came up and sat down, and I realized I didn't pray this morning for the message. Man, I need to pray for the message. I need the power, Lord. I'm teaching about power, and I'm not even asking for your power. So I started praying. And so that's what we need to do, is always remember. It's always available to us. We need to realize and walk in. You see, gang, Jesus, our Christ, has already won the victory over sin, death, the flesh, the world, and Satan. He's already won all that. He has destroyed that on the cross. The cross not only forgave our sins, relinquished our sins, completely banished our sins, but it also did something else, Romans says. It destroyed that old man. That sin nature destroyed it. Now you go, well, I don't feel like it's been destroyed. I got plenty of that going on. Well, here's the deal. Destroyed, when you look at it in the original language, it's a derivative of paralyzed. It means that he has paralyzed the old man. He has paralyzed that old sin nature. What can a completely paralyzed person do? What's the only thing a person can do? Scream at you. That's it. Ah! Here's the thing. We listen. That's the only thing. What can it do to you? He can't grab your arm and put it behind your back and slam you to the concrete and make you go, you know, do something that God says you shouldn't. No. All he can do is that voice, that screaming, that nagging. That's all he can do. When I get that thing going, I just say, shut up, Satan. All you can do is scream at me. Put a sock in it. That's what I tell them. Put a sock in it, you know? That's all they can do to me and you because of the cross, because we've embraced the cross. That's all the enemy can do is scream at us. That's all that the flesh can do is scream at us. But many times we keep hearing that, and we go for it. I mean, even a child. I had a kid. He's in heaven now. That kid... He would not ever let up on anything. I have this. He's one of those kids that just won't take no for an answer. Just never. And I eventually just said, okay, here, take it. Shut up. You know, kind of a thing. And that's what we do sometimes. The enemy just in. You finally give in, you know. No, don't give in. You ask God. Take every thought captive, the Bible says. Just ask God, hey, Lord, shut him up. You don't have to listen to that. And so, we need to understand that. It's very important. Church, it plays out like this. We do not fight for victory. We don't fight for victory in this battle. No, we fight from victory. Do you get that? We fight from victory. In fact, Paul says that we are seated in the heavenlies where there is power, peace, and victory. Now, of course, let's be clear. All these benefits, all these blessings are only for those who have, by faith, given their lives to Christ. Without that, forget it. You don't get any of those. But you have to ask God into your heart first. And that's where it is. 1 John tells us something very important. It says, don't pray for those that are not saved. Don't pray for sin in their life. That's what they do. Dogs hunt, sinners sin. You know, that's just what they do. Pray for salvation for them. And then it continues and says, however, for the house of God, pray that's already saved, pray for their sin. Pray that God would help them with their sin, that they would recognize their sin. And so it's only for those, the blessings, that know the Lord. Now, I believe most of us have heard these statements before. I just don't know if I can get over my smoking habit. My temper just seems to control me all the time. I don't get it. I just give up. These lustful thoughts, I can't contain them. They will always be with me. They will always control me. But wait, did you notice what Paul didn't pray? Did you notice what he didn't pray there in 19 and 20? He didn't pray. Paul wouldn't pray. Lord, give them power over their sin. He didn't pray that. He'd pray, Lord, help them see and recognize and enlighten them on the power they already have in Christ. They already have the power. So walk in it. It's a dominating power. The dominating power of resurrected Christ is already in us. Did you know that? Already in us. But church, we do have the want-to problem. And we need to understand that. 21. We read it, far above all principalities. Remember all the stuff we read there? Principalities, power, might, dominion are all words that describe various categories of demonic entities and angelic beings. And so remember that. Whenever the Bible speaks of that, it's either angelic beings, most of the time it's demonic entities, angelic beings. As well. And according to verse 21, Jesus has power over all of them. And the same power that caused him to be resurrected also is in, 1, 2, 3. And so whatever you're struggling with this morning, whatever we're wrestling with or through, it's minuscule compared to the power it took to raise Christ into heaven and give him dominion over everything. It's nothing. It's minuscule. And so therefore, and listen up, if I'm in bondage, it's not because I need more power. I have the power. It's because I have failed to utilize that power, recognize that power, understand that power, walk in that power that is already in me. And that's the truth. It's like this. I've used this analogy before, and forgive me for you homies that have heard this before, but I lived in Arizona. The only way to really get water was the Salt River, runs to from the north to the south, and there would be a flowmaster. And the flowmaster, twice a year, would go up and turn the flow on from the Salt River and run down. And they don't have, the irrigation there is irrigation. The way the water, it's not sprinklers or anything, it's irrigation ditches. And you have a big, big, big ditch, and then it goes to smaller canals, and then finally it runs into your little ditch in your yard to water your plants and things. Well, when the governor or whoever tells the flowmaster to turn the water on, he doesn't like turn it half on or a quarter on. He opens it completely full, wide open. The problem is, when the helicopters fly over Phoenix, they see different parts of Phoenix really green and then certain parts of Phoenix that are not so green. And they always wonder why. It was very simple to find out why. Because a month or two before they turn the water on, they tell the people, I mean, it's a huge campaign to get all the bushes out of their ditches and to get all the car parts out of the canals and get all the different things that are prohibiting the water from reaching their place. And they have a choice to let the full brunt of the water get into their yard to produce great fruit or not to. That's us. God says, I've got this power, man. I've got this water, living water. All you got to do is let it get to you. It's full blast. I've not got, some of you, I only got half. Some of you, I got full. No. We're all full. It's just that some of us gets the ditches cleaned out from our lives. We love that water. We want that water. And we clean out our ditches. And so more of the water can get to us. We put down stuff in our lives that we never should have had to begin with. And it's almost taken us over. And so for the power, with the power that God has given us, just with our free will, we're just going to quit that. I got the power to do it. I'm going to quit that. And I'm going to get into my word and let the water just really, man, produce great fruit in our lives. And so we have the power. We have the power. It's already in us. But sometimes we say, I'm addicted. Well, God says, you're free. We say, I'm wounded. God says, you're as whole as you'll ever be if you press into me. Sometimes it takes years. Just continue to press into him. I'm telling you, I can't do it, man, unless I'm pressing into him. You wouldn't have a pastor. No. I have to press into him every day. I'm not embarrassed to say that every day. We say, I need counseling, I need drugs, I need a program. God says, well, you have me. Yes, programs help. I'm here to tell you they help. But they have to be in the power of Christ. They can't be some, 30-day vacation somewhere. They have to be in the power of Christ. And there are programs out there that do operate in the power of Christ. Now, you might say, well, that's nice. And that's a good theology, but how does it work practically? Well, let's read on. Verse 22 declares, all things are under his feet. Question, well, what things? Well, we saw dominion, powers, addictions, problems, pornography, profanity, gossip, depression, fear, dissension, meanness, temper, sadness, laziness. Have I missed any? I'm sure you'll let me know some. Or whatever it is that you can't get over. That's not Christ-like. Don't you see? But my problem is different. It's overwhelming. Hey, time for reality check. Time for reality check. It couldn't be any more overwhelming than the waves threatening to drown the disciples now, could it? Ask Peter. Yet even the waves that rolled over his head were under Jesus' feet. Do you realize that in that story? The waves were going over their heads, but Jesus was on top of the waves riding it. I think the Lord was surfing on top of those waves. Yet even the waves that rolled over their heads were under Jesus' feet. The very waves he walked upon to go to his disciples. And that's what he'll do for us. Church, nothing is over God's head. Nothing. All things are under his feet. Those two things we need to remember continually. Jesus is in absolute control of every situation, be it financial, physical, relational, vocational, or even parental. Yes, you think you've lost it with your kids? No, he's even over parental. Just show him love, show him Jesus. So whatever might seem to be rolling your way, gang, ready to sink your boat and wipe you out, is already under Christ's feet. Already, he saw it coming way before. But it just might be, I think it would be, the very path that he chooses upon to walk with you and to you to get your attention. You know, something happens and all of a sudden here comes Christ. You know, here he comes. And you just fall more in love with him. There was a teacher on the radio, and I was listening to him, and he said this. He said, I find that in my trials, I come much closer to God, much closer to God, much closer to Christ. And so I have to pray many times, God, just keep me in the trial. Just keep me there in the trial, God, because I'm closest I've ever been to you. Just keep me in the trial. And I'm like, what is wrong with that preacher saying something like that? What do you mean, keep you in the trial? Are you kidding me? Then I noticed it was me teaching. If that's what it takes for this knucklehead to be close to you, I've chosen to be close to him in the plenty and in the sparse. Got to do it, man. Need to do it. And so it's important that we do that. Now, finally, verse 23, which in his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, Paul, there at the very last of the very last verse there in chapter 1, he changes his tone, he changes his speaking comments to the body of Christ. Do you recognize that? In 23, our final verse for today, Paul starts cruising and developing this idea of the body of Christ. He says the name of the game is community. We need one another. We need to be with our sisters and our brothers who pray with us and care about us. And in this church, that happens. You don't believe me? Ask other deacons. Ask anyone. Elders, we love one another. And we do it practically speaking. I mean, we go to their houses. We go, this not me. People, we got this thing called Breeze. And please, that's why those connection cards are so important. We send stuff out on Breeze to pray for different people, to help different people, to be able to, you know, just different things that we have there. Confidential, but also letting the body know what our needs are. This body is awesome. I've never seen a body ever in 45 years of being a Christian. I've never seen anything like you guys. Now, don't stop. They give you an attaboy and then you stop. But it's just been crazy, crazy good. Loving each other, especially over the last 10 years of this ministry. We need to love one another. Because why? Well, this is why. The more closely we're linked to the body, life lesson, the more clearly we'll exercise and experience the authority of Christ as headship. For you to disagree that you don't think you need to go to church or need to be in a body of Christ. You know, I tell people, just get in the body of Christ. Your needs will be taken care of if you're there Sundays and you participate and you don't have to be rich. Matter of fact, we like poor people. I mean, we enjoy those are-nots, those foolish things of the world that God says confounds the wise. We enjoy those kind of people. We love those kind of people. We are those kind of people. And so, yes, we need to come together and hang out. And you see, for those who disagree, that's just the way it works. God says that's the way it works. Hebrews 10, And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Okay, let's consider one another. That consider means basically love, enjoy, not a supernatural thing, okay? It's something deep. Let's consider one another for why? What's the reason? To get money from one another? To badmouth one another? No, in order to stir up love and good works. Oh, yeah, bring it. Love and good works. That's what we do for another. Not forsaking, oh, here it comes, the assembling of ourselves together, as is the matter of some. You know, I've talked to people, why don't you come to church, man? Oh, you know, a thousand reasons, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you, everyone read this, see the day approaching. What day do you think that might be, folks? Tomorrow, yeah. Yeah, praise God, Maranatha. You're right. It's here. It's a coming. We better love one another. We better love one another. And so enough said about that. I think you guys get that. The church, hanging out with one another. And of course, we know this isn't a church. It's a body of church. I love it when I hear a gang of people just came together and they're barbecued out and they're reading the Word of God and they're hanging out, and that's why we have home fellowships. But I'm not talking about just home fellowships. I'm talking about just when I hear that you guys get together somewhere and did something kind of a thing, and I'm like, first thing in my mind was, how come I didn't get invited? I remember back when I wasn't even a deacon, that we lived in Flagstaff, Arizona, and someone would call up and go, hey, what do you got for dinner? Oh, I got beans. Everyone had beans. Nothing else but beans. And so I got a crock pot. Well, come on over. I got some cornbread. Well, I got this. I got tortillas. And the next thing you know, we got a bunch of people over at our house or someone else's house just fellowshipping, hanging out. Seemed like everyone played guitar back then. And we just kind of had a kumbaya moment with Jesus. It was just tremendous stuff. Tremendous stuff like that. And I just love it. Just love it. And so the church, headship of God, we'll all enjoy those things. You can say, I can study the Bible on my own, but that's not the heart of the Father any more than if I went home and said this. Now check it out. Okay, kids, grab your plates, and each of you go to your rooms for Sunday dinner by yourself. What? You see, if I did, they would still be getting nutrition, wouldn't they? Of course, they would survive. But the heart of a true father is to see his kids together, interacting, loving, sharing, and knowing and growing together. Amen? Many a time when I go to church personally to either just, you know, hang out, devotions, we have board meetings that last all night. You ladies know that. My wife's calling me at 9 o'clock. Where are you at? Well, I'm not at a bar, honey. You know, remember those days? Oh, yeah, okay, see you later, you know, kind of thing. But, you know, it's just when I'm together with the bros and just hanging out, you know, I feel attached to something. I feel like I could call any one of these guys and they would be there for me. And that's what we do for one another. That's how we roll in this church. There's a bond that can only be described by the Holy Spirit. And finally, I noticed that in a very real and practical way. Practical way, that is so, so true. Just try it. Just ask anyone in here. When I do that, I hear the voice of the Lord anew and afresh every time. When I'm hanging out with you guys, man, you'll say something, the Lord's working, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us in different gifts of just normality, just, you know, supernaturally, naturally, someone will say something. I'll go, man, I've been studying about that. Wow, that's awesome. You're teaching one another just by hanging out and talking about the Lord and what the Lord's doing in your life. It's just an awesome thing. I'm reminded that the storm that threatens to intimidate me is underneath the feet. When I hang out with you guys, I hear testimonies, and I know the storm that intimidates all of us is underneath the feet of the one who is the head of his body. That's what I get from you guys. Praise the Lord Jesus that we can do that for one another. Father, we thank you for this time.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.